Careful, you're being recorded now. But I'm going to talk over here. Our sermon today is not so much a sermon as it is some favorite hymns and then some thoughts about those hymns as well. So you can see the four hymns listed there. Sometimes we're only singing a verse or two of them, so pay attention to that. We'll stay seated for the singing of all the hymns except the last one. We'll stand for the last one. So the first one is How Great Thou Art, and the scripture verse that goes with it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can find this page 960 in your Bibles. Here's the scripture lesson. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Those are the words that match up with the last verse of How Great Thou Art. The story of this hymn is interesting. It comes from a Swedish man, Carl Boberg, who wrote 9 stanzas of this on a summer evening in 1885 after he had just been taken up with the beauty of nature, and he also had heard sounds of church bells. It was translated from Swedish to German, and then to Russian. And the Russian text came to the attention of a British man, Stuart Hine, when he and his wife were serving as missionaries in the Ukraine. And they often sang it together as a duet. So this man, Hine, translated it from the Russian into English, but it was first published with its Swedish tune in 1949. It's not that old of a hymn, actually. Because much of Carl Boberg, the original author, so much of the words were lost in translation, going from the Swedish to the German to the Russian to the English, that his name is pretty much lost, and you'll notice, I think it says in our hymnal, that it comes from Stuart Hine as the person who wrote it, because he was the primary translator to get it to English. The story of how it came to be published in America, though, remember, all this is happening in Europe. This is England and Russia and Germany. But how it came to America is interesting. In the 1930s, in Oklahoma, a young man named Vernon Spencer was recovering from a very serious mining accident. He had been working in the mines. And since he couldn't work in the mines anymore, he began playing music at a local bar called Bucket of Blood. He enjoyed performing so much that he decided to just leave Oklahoma and go to Hollywood. This is the late 1930s, and hoped to make it big. So he changed his name to Tim Spencer. That became his stage name. And he joined Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers, which was one of the most popular bands at the time. Well, Tim married a Christian woman. Her name is Velma, who prayed for him faithfully, and especially while he was on the road. And he needed prayers because he was living a very, very wild and risky lifestyle. One of the titles of one of his songs is called Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. Gives you a picture into who Tim Spencer was. But then one day he was in a hotel in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and he received a letter from his wife, and she had included a verse of scripture. And so he was curious, so he went to the drawer and pulled out the Gideon's Bible, and he read the passage, and he realized that he was on the wrong path and that he needed to change his ways. So he prayed in that moment, and he gave his life to Jesus, and from that moment on, everything changed. His life was now under the lordship of Christ, and so he took a completely different turn. He established a gospel music publishing company called Manna Music, which is still one of the great Christian gospel publishing houses in America. But then a few years later, after he had established Manna Music, his son, Hal, had been to a student missionary conference in Toronto and came back from it with a hymn that he loved. It was called How Great Thou Art. And so Tim called Stuart Hine to get permission to publish his hymn, and it has become one of the most beloved hymns of the 20th century. And it's an example of our little tagline here at church, sharing Christ and changing lives, and the power that Christ can have in our lives to really make a change. So let's sing two verses of How Great Thou Art. Our next hymn is Just As I Am, Without One Plea. The Bible verse associated with this is just a single verse, John chapter 6, verse 37, which is this: All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. That's what Jesus says. This hymn comes from Charlotte Elliott, who's also lived in London, England, who at the age of 32 suffered a serious illness that left her an invalid for the rest of her life. Hymn writing became a way for her to cope with her pain and her depression, and she wrote approximately 150 hymns, and many of them actually reflect her dealing with chronic pain, but also reveal that faith gave her perseverance and hope. Even still, she suffered depressions and feelings of helplessness throughout her whole life. And this was the case in 1836 when her brother was raising money for St. Mary's, which was a college for the daughters of poor clergymen. Charlotte wanted to have some part in the fundraising. She wanted to be helpful, but she wasn't able to because of her illness. So she just kept wondering what she could do to help this cause, and then she just decided to write a poem that would speak to others who were also physically limited and handicapped. She remembered a conversation she had had 14 years earlier with a great preacher when she had confessed to him that she had this spiritual crisis, and she just did not know how to come to Christ. That's what she said, and he told her back, "You know, come to him just as you are." And so she wrote this poem based on that simple but profound insight. Well, the poem was then published without her name. She didn't know it had been published. And then years later, she was at her doctor's office, and he, not knowing that she was the author, handed her a little pamphlet that had a poem on it because he thought it might be encouraging to her to read this poem, Just As I Am. And she sat there and she read her own poem. And then he told her, yeah, that copies of this poem were being printed and sold so that the money could go to St. Mary's College. And it was then that she realized that she really was making a significant contribution to the building of that school. Her brother, who had become a pastor, said of this poem, he said, "In the long course of a long ministry, I hope I have been permitted to see some fruit of my labors, but I feel far more has been done by that single hymn of my sister's." Sharing Christ and changing lives, to be sure. So let's sing Just As I Am, hymn number 342. Our next hymn is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, and it is based on Psalm 23. So I thought we might turn to that, page 435 in the Bibles, the black books in the pews with you, and let's say this psalm together. Let me see, what page am I going to? 435. Okay. Okay. Let's say these comforting and familiar words together. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. I'm going to say a few words. So Psalm 23 is the basis of this hymn, which is attributed to Dorothy Thrupp. But this hymn is not so much an assertion of our faith as it is a prayer. You'll notice that we speak to the Lord in this hymn. We know that God is our shepherd, and we know why we trust. And because we have that trust in God, we ask God continually to be faithful to us. This hymn acknowledges our dependency and our emptiness, and then asks that God would provide for us. Every verse of this hymn contains a promise that God makes and then a prayer we make because of that promise. It's a beautiful example of how we can live out our calling as followers of Christ. Here's a story of how this hymn had a huge impact on two men, actually, who lived in the late 1800s. It was Christmas Eve, and Ira Sankey was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River. His friends asked him to sing a song. He had a good voice and was a singer, and his friends asked him to sing. And so he chose this hymn, and he sang this hymn. And when he was finished, a man who was very rough and weather-beaten came up to him and asked, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" And he replied, "Yes, I did. I began my service in the spring of 1860. And he asked again, "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night, I think it was 1862? And Mr. Sankey answered, "Yes," very surprised. Well, the stranger then told this. He said, "You know, I was on picket duty as well, but I was serving in the Confederate Army. And when I saw you standing at your post, I said to myself, that man will never get away from here alive. And so I raised my musket and I took aim. I was standing completely in the shadows, hidden, and the full light of the moon was falling on you. And then in a moment, you lifted your head, you raised your eyes to the heavens, and you began to sing. And I've always loved music, and I especially love the singing of songs. And so I took my finger off the trigger. I said to myself, you know, let him sing this song to the end, and then I'll shoot him afterwards. You know, he's going to be my victim anyway, so it doesn't matter if I do it now or when he's finished. I'll let him sing. But then the song that you sang was this song that you had just sung right now, and I heard these words. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. And those words stirred up a memory for me, and I began to think of my childhood and my mother, who used to sing that very hymn to me at night. And she died when she was really young. And then you finished your song, and it was impossible for me to shoot you. I thought, you know, the Lord is able to save that man from certain deaths. He must surely be mighty and great. And so I put my rifle down. Wow. That's the power of our faith. That's the power of the hymns we sing. I invite you to turn to the blue insert to the words of the Apostles' Creed. Maybe this is like our seventh inning stretch where you're going to get to stand up. We do. We say this each week because it is the faith of the church, not because it's only our faith or what we believe, but what the whole church has believed from the early centuries on. It binds us to other Christians who say this with us every Sunday morning as well. So I invite you to rise and join me as you are able as we share together. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our last hymn in this section is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And the Bible verse that this comes from is Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, page 999 in the very back of your Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. Revelation chapter 9. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Here is another story of the power of the hymns, and especially the power of this hymn. Reverend Scott was a missionary to India, and one day he saw on the street a man who looked quite different from all the other people he had been with, and so he asked around about this man, and he learned that he belonged to a wild mountain tribe. Well, Mr. Scott prayed for this man and prayed about this tribe and then decided to make a visit. So he took along his violin, which is what he often did when he went to visit new peoples. And as soon as he reached their mountain home, he encountered a savage group from the tribe who were on a war expedition. And they seized him, they grabbed him. And they sat him down, and they pointed their spears right at his chest. Well, he quickly got out his violin, and he began to play and sing in the native language of India this hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And he closed his eyes while he played and sang, expecting to die at any minute. Well, he reached the third stanza, and nothing had happened, so he opened his eyes, and he was amazed to see all of these people standing there, spears were down, and they had tears in their eyes. They invited Mr. Scott into their homes, and he spent 2.5 years among them, teaching and showing them what it looks like to follow Christ. Man, sharing Christ certainly does change lives. So let's sing this excellent hymn, and we'll stand as well while we sing hymn number 97.